Mark chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 20 this morning. So when you have it, I'd ask if you would please stand as we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. It says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with hired servants and went after him." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your holy name this morning and for your holy word. And we ask, Father, that you would be blessed in the preaching of your word today, that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified, that you, Lord, would be magnified. Father, we pray for the hearts of each people here. Lord, we pray because you only know them. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to move amongst us. Father, bring salvation where needed. Bring sanctification where needed. But Father, may nobody today leave this place the same after encountering the resurrected Savior and his precious word. We now give ourselves ears ready to hear and hearts ready to receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So we see here in verses 16 through 20 that Jesus is beginning his public ministry. And the text tells us that he goes out by the Sea of Galilee, and he's looking for those that God had chosen to be his disciples for his earthly ministry. And as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, the text tells us that he cries out to Andrew and Peter, two brothers who are casting their nets. And when he cries out to them, come and follow me. Later on in the chapter or in the section, he cries out to another set of brothers, James and John, who are mending their nets, nets that had been broken up. He's mending them, and Jesus cries out to them, come and follow me. But that's not just the only thing that Jesus did in crying out and asking them to follow him. While he gave them an invitation, he gave them a very specific invitation that we're going to look at today. He gave them an invitation that had a great promise. Look with me at verse 17. It says, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Fishers of men. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you there is no invitation in the church and in your life more exciting than the invitation to evangelism. And that's the invitation that is being given right there. The promise to be a fisher of men. A promise to bring the gospel to a lost, broken, and dying world. A promise that God can use you to show Christ so that lives may be changed and souls may be saved. There is no greater joy and exciting thing to be a part of than to see someone get saved. Amen, church? If you've ever been in that capacity, you've ever been in that moment where someone who doesn't know Christ recognizes their sinfulness, recognizes their need, and you're able to lead them to the cross of Calvary, you're able to lead them to a point of salvation, you're able to lead them in which they cry out and confess. By the way, if that happens, it's not by you, it's by the guiding power of the Holy Spirit, amen, and him opening their eyes. It's nothing that we say, amen, we just point them, right? We just give the bait, and if they take it, he does the rest, amen. But there is no greater joy and no greater excitement than to see a life changed by Jesus Christ. Than to see a life changed by Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that same invitation that Jesus gave to two sets of brothers, he gives to you and I. If you're here today and you are saved, if you are here today and you have professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're here today and you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you are to be a fisher of men. You are to be someone who goes forth unto those who don't know Christ and show them Christ. It's what we are all called to do. And so this morning, as we look at this text and look at this life-changing invitation, this invitation to do life-changing work for our Lord and Savior, I want to look specifically at verse 17. Because I think the crux of the message is in verse 17. There's three different phrases that break up this verse that give us some very intriguing things to know and to understand if we are going to do this life-changing work that Christ calls each and every one of us to do. Number one, look with me at verse 17, a very simple, simple phrase. He says, "And Jesus said unto them." And Jesus said unto them. You could even put it as, "And Jesus said unto," ready? "Them." Who are the them in the passage? The them, go back to verse 16, the very end of verse 16. It says, "For they were fishers." Ladies and gentlemen, can I point out to you this morning the very first invitation that is given to life-changing work is an invitation to the simple. Remember how I told you Mark's gospel is the gospel of the simple man? Here you get the flat-out example that Jesus has given for it. Praise the Lord, he doesn't go to those who are in the ministry already. Praise the Lord, the people he doesn't go to are considered the most highly educated, the one with the most titles before their name or after their name. He doesn't go to the powerful. He doesn't go to the political. He doesn't go to those who are in high standings within their community. He doesn't go to people or students who have higher learning and education. But we see Jesus go to the heart of the community. He goes to the simple man. He goes to fishermen. Isn't that a little strange? Praise the Lord, he's a little strange in his tactics. Praise the Lord, he doesn't do what we would do in putting something together for ministry. But it says he goes to the simple, folks. He goes to the ordinary. He goes to the layman. He goes to the ones who are engaged in the day-to-day affairs of life. And some may ask, why would he do something like that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if he goes to the simple, and if they are obedient, and they allow him to do a great work in them and through them, the only one who can get the glory is God. Amen. The only one that can get the glory is God. You know, I heard a preacher one time say that the church should have the best of the best of the best of the best. And there should be no reason why the best musicians in the world aren't playing in the church. And there should be no reason why the best communicators in the world aren't preaching in the church. There should be no reason why the best and most organized administratively should be serving in the church. Can I say I absolutely disagree with that statement? Because God does not need man's best in this world. What he needs is your heart and your willingness and your availability, and he will work through you for his honor, for his glory, so that way only he can be praised. Only he can be praised. Folks, he's looking for someone who's available, not the most talented, not the most skilled, not the most accomplished, but those who are willing to be obedient. I mean, folks, look, there are some good qualities and characteristics among these men. I mean, fishers in those times, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, they were known to be not the best of society. Amen? How many of you guys would say, "Pastor, I'm not the best of society"? Aw, come on. Come on. I'll raise two hands and a foot. Come on. Fishermen were known as uneducated and rough around the edges. Fishermen were known as not people who were very skilled. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, though, there are some redeeming works that Christ is looking for, even though the world doesn't think they're great, even though the culture may not have looked upon them provingly. Listen to me. The fact that they were outworking, and Jesus calls them, they're hard workers. Can I tell you, if you want to be used by God in his ministry, you've got to be willing to work hard. Amen? You've got to have a good work ethic. Listen to me. Jesus says many times, or the Bible says many times, that God does not approve of those who are lazy and slothful, but rather those who are willing to work, put their nose to the grindstone, be useful for the advancement of not just the gospel, but also society. People who are tending the responsibilities that God has given them. They're in the midst of hard work. He finds them and he calls them. Not only that, but can you say they were obedient? Look, they may be rough around the edges, but when God called them, they didn't know this guy from Adam. But praise the Lord, they had a soft spot somewhere in their heart and in their spirit that when they noticed authority coming from God and were asked and said, hey, come after me, come follow me, they were obedient. They were willing to take direction. Oh, Lord, can I tell you, I don't care what kind of position you find yourself in, what kind of title you have behind your name, what kind of degree you may have. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to be used by God for life-changing work in the ministry, you need to be willing to take direction. You need to be willing to be obedient. Not just to who God, to what God calls you to do, but also maybe leaders that are put in front of you. Not just that, but look, they were brothers. Two sets of brothers, one of which we find is working for their father. It's interesting. Now, I didn't really catch that at the beginning, but I read a commentary about it. And they said that one of the things that could have jumped out here and one of the things that we can focus on in terms of great and redeeming qualities of these fishermen is that these were people that were connected within the family, willing to serve within the family. They had a strong sense of family, right? And they were willing to work with their family, specifically brothers in Christ, or brothers, right? Can I tell you, if you are going to be used by God, you've got to have a loyalty to family. You've got to have a love for your brothers. And I'm not talking your physical brothers or sisters. I'm talking about, listen to me, I'm talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if you're going to do the work of the gospel, there's got to be a relationship there. There's got to be love given there. There's got to be grace given there. There's got to be forgiveness given there. Because praise God, as you go down that bumpy road of ministry and working in the church, there's going to be differences of opinions that arise. There's going to be heartaches that arise. There's going to be hardships that are going to arise. There's going to be arguments that are going to arise. But if you've got that solid foundation of this is my brother in Christ, this is my sister in Christ, there can be love and grace that overcomes and keeps you moving forward in obedience. As long as you have that, praise God for the least of these, amen? Because God invites the simple. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Jeff, I can never see God using me. I don't have any redeeming qualities that he would want. Can I tell you, when you start putting yourself in a position where you think you have nothing to offer God, you're in the perfect position for God to use you, because then when he calls you and you're obedient and you do a work for the Lord, he can get all the praise, because there's nothing you can point to. There's nothing anybody else can point to. We're all called. We are all that simple. He gives an invitation to the simple. And isn't it wonderful that it's the simple that he calls to do the greatest work?
Yes.
It's the simple that he calls to do kingdom building. It's the simple who get to expound, who get to profess, who get to share the salvation of Jesus Christ. The very thing that can save a soul, that can change a life, that can turn around an entire family, that can take someone who's lost and now was found, can take someone who's blind and now can see. The greatest work he gives to the simple. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, he invites the simple for this life-changing work. Second thing I want you to see in verse 17 is he gives an invitation to follow. Not just an invitation to the simple, but he gives an invitation to follow. It says, "Come ye after me." Come ye after me. Now you go forward and he calls the other two, and you see a direct command of he called them, right? He beckoned them unto him. It's an invitation to follow. Here's what I want you to note in this invitation to life-changing work. Notice he tells them, come and follow me. Pastor, why is that significant? Notice he's not saying, follow the traditions that man has set before you. If you're going to do life-changing work, it's not going to be found in the traditions that man has set, in the legalism, in the religion that has been brought forward. Notice he says, follow me. Don't follow reason or intellect or your own rational thinking. Think of what he's calling them out to. He's telling them, leave your jobs, leave your families, leave your wealth, leave your security. It's not going to take reason so much for you to follow. Don't follow reason. Follow me. Because listen to me, in the natural, there isn't going to be much that makes sense when God calls you in the supernatural. He's not saying follow tradition. He's not saying follow reason. Listen to me. He's not saying follow your experience. I don't know. Well, Pastor, I've experienced this and this, and I know this to be true, and I know this to be true, so it doesn't really follow up when Jesus tells me to follow him. No. Don't go by what you've experienced. Go by what God's word says. Go by what Jesus is directing. Go by where Jesus is going. Follow me. Well, Pastor, I'm just not feeling it. Now, don't follow your feelings either. A lot of times we like to follow the way we feel, right? And as long as we feel like Jesus is doing what we want him to do, we'll follow Jesus. But the moment we don't feel like Jesus is going in the direction we want to go, we stop following Jesus. Well, I'm just not feeling it. My heart's just not in it. Well, maybe you need a change of heart. Follow Jesus. Don't follow your emotions, don't follow your experience, don't follow your tradition, don't follow your reason, don't follow any of those things. Listen to me, here's why you don't follow those things when those invitations and why you follow Jesus. Listen to me, because your opinion or your traditions or your legalism or your reason or your experience or your feelings has never saved a soul. But yet Jesus Christ and his gospel has saved many. He has died for the sins of the world so that all that call upon him may be redeemed. The one who can save a soul, the one who can change a life, is the one you are to follow, not anything else. Not anything else. And here's another thing. I know it may just be semantics on words, but I just got to put this in here. Notice it says, come ye after me. Come ye after me. Doesn't say, come ye before me. You don't go ahead of Christ. You wait on him. It doesn't say, come ye beside me. You don't walk with Christ. I love the shirts that say, Jesus is my co-pilot. I really hope he's not your co-pilot. I hope you're a passenger and he's your pilot. You shouldn't be co-anything when it comes to the Savior of the world. You're following him. It says, come after me, which means you're behind. Let him go before you and set things up and put things in order. And you are a servant that is just taking direction. Let him lead. He's the one of importance. He's the one of importance. You want to do life-changing work? You want to accept the invitation? You want to see lives changed and souls saved? Follow Jesus and follow behind him. Because here's the thing. Here's why you got to follow him. If he's going to take you from being a fisherman to being a fisher of men, some of the same principles still apply. Oftentimes, what? The fishermen know where the fish are, right?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. The fishermen know where the fish are, right? Now, today we got high-tech equipment and all this stuff, and they'll tell you where they are and all this stuff. But the fishermen know where the fish are, and the fishermen know what the fish need. So if you're going to be a fisher of men, can I tell you, if Jesus is going to make you a fisher of men, can we trust that where Jesus goes, that's where we need to be? Because he knows where they are. He knows where they need to be caught. He knows. And so if we follow him, we're going to go to where the fish are. Can I tell you, if we follow Jesus like a disciple is supposed to, and we're following where he goes to where the fish are that need to be caught, can I tell you that based on Scripture, he's going to take you to some pretty uncomfortable places? Because that's where the fish are. He's going to take you into some deep waters. It's going to take you to some places that Matthew 25 tells us you're going to be amongst the hungry. You're going to be amongst the thirsty. You're going to be amongst the stranger. You're going to be amongst the outcast. You're going to be amongst the sick. You're going to be amongst the imprisoned. Most importantly, you're going to be amongst the lost. That's where Jesus went in his earthly ministry. That's who he spent his time with. Why do you think the Pharisees got all upset with him? And tried to condemn him and say, this man hangs out with sinners. And he said, it's the sick who need a doctor, not those who are well. You see, Jesus spent his time amongst the lost, not because he wanted to show them, hey, everything you're doing and everything you're living in is just absolutely fine and wonderful, and I'm one of you. But no, he said, you are lost, and I'm bringing to you a love, I'm bringing to you a grace, I'm giving to you a forgiveness that the religious world is telling you that you're not good enough to have. I'm coming to you to tell you of the hope you can have in Jesus Christ. He's going to the people who need to hear the message. The ones who everyone else tells them they're not good enough or have been forgotten about. You see, he went to change them. He didn't go to validate them. He said, come after me. And when we follow Jesus into these situations in which make us uncomfortable, because let's be honest, folks, a lot of times in our churches today, we like to huddle amongst ourselves and not necessarily go out into the deep waters where Jesus is. We like to stay in the shallow waters. We like to huddle with our friends. Listen to me, Christian fellowship is important, but it should not be the only thing the church is doing. In fact, it should be a small part of what the church is doing. We're supposed to be going and following Jesus to make or to catch some fish. And part of the problem with the church today is that we have spent way too much time swapping fish rather than catching fish. Look, if you've come here from another church, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. I hope you found a home. But let me tell you, our ministry focus is not to get other people from other churches to come and join us. Our ministry focus is to go out to a lost, broken, and dying world and tell people who don't know Jesus about Christ and get them saved and get them in the boat so they can be saved. That's our job. That's our ministry focus. And here's the thing, folks. When you go out into those deep waters, you may be thinking, my goodness, Pastor Jeff, that's scary. My goodness, Pastor Jeff, that's uncomfortable. Pastor, I don't know my faith good enough to do that. Listen to me. All you got to do is follow Jesus. He said, follow him. He didn't say for you to go and set up the ministries. He didn't say for you to go and do the work. He said, follow me. And so where he is, can I tell you? Listen to me. That's where his Holy Spirit will be. And so if you go in the name of Jesus out to those who need you, by the way, you ever need a change of heart? Go to those places, folks. My goodness. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Listen to me. And all you got to do is, like a good fisherman, is cast the bait. Or in this terms, cast the net. Right? Show the love of Christ. Speak Jesus. Tell them your testimony. I'm not saying for you to go up and berate people. Did Jesus go up and berate people? The people I find him berating in the Gospels are the religious. The ones who think they're better than everybody else. The ones who don't think that they should be in ministry to everybody else because they're lost and condemned and cannot be saved. No, he cast the net. That's what fishermen do. He gave the bait. All you got to do, listen to me, cast. You want to throw the bait out? Throw Jesus out and see who responds. Yeah. Oh, an open door. Oh, let me tell you your testimony and how Jesus saved me. Cast the bait out. Oh, you need prayer? You're going through a tough time? Let me pray with you in the name of Jesus. That's all you got to do. Or here's the better one. You ready? Cast the net, right? You get more fishes that way. Cast the net out. You know what you're doing? Praying over a group of people. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, you know the situation I'm going into. People know who I am in Jesus Christ. By the way, your lost friends and your lost co-workers and your lost acquaintances should know who you are in Jesus Christ. They should know you're a Christian. So when you enter a room or you're invited into an event, listen to me. Chances are they know. They know already. You're going to change the atmosphere. Lord, I'm casting the net. Give me opportunities that there, if there is a bite, that I can share the gospel. Let me be bold when a door opens. Lord, let me be in the midst and be used for your honor and glory. Let your Spirit do the work. You don't have to do the work. Let his Spirit do the work. Let Jesus do the work, folks. All you're doing is casting the bait or casting the nets. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. But for some of us, it's still uncomfortable. Pastor Jeff, I'm just not comfortable with that. Well, that's why we have this last part of the message. There's an invitation for the simple. There's an invitation to follow and to follow Jesus into those deep waters. Look at the last part of the verse. This is what I love. It says, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And I will make you to become fishers of men. Can I ask you something? When he called the two sets of brothers in our text today, were they fishers of men? When he called them?
No.
No. Listen to me. When Jesus saved your soul, do you think you were a fisher of men from that point? No. Ladies and gentlemen, the disciples didn't start out as fishers of men. The promise is that he would make them to become fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to teach you how to evangelize, and I'm going to give you a heart for those who are lost and need to hear the gospel. I mean, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. These gentlemen that were called, they are rough, they are ragtag, and even as they began to follow Jesus, they still weren't getting it. They still weren't at the point where they were fishers of men. I mean, my goodness, they would go into crowds and they would go into towns and they would go into places and they would run people off from Jesus because, hey, he's too busy. Leave him alone. Turn them away. And Jesus would have to say many times, no, don't turn them away. Don't tell them to go somewhere else. They tried to get children from coming to Jesus and people, they said, no, they didn't get it. Jesus even looked over a group or a crowd, and it says that Jesus had and was moved with compassion for these people because they were lost, they were harassed, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion. But you know what we find in the Gospels and going into the book of Acts? The more that these disciples spent time with Jesus, the more that they followed him into the different towns, the more they saw the miraculous dealings, the more they saw the love and the compassion and the grace and the life change that came about in these individuals from coming in contact with Jesus, all of a sudden, over time, Jesus' compassion became their compassion. And can I tell you, it's a process. It can take a while. Can I tell you, I don't think the disciples truly got it or understood until they came in contact with the resurrected Savior. But then when they did get it and they understood, look at the work that Christ did in them and through them in the book of Acts. That's when they went forward.
That's when they went out. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to wait to come in contact with the resurrected Savior and get it. You already have the resurrected Savior. You already are someone who's had a changed life. You have every ability to get it. But can I tell you, if you are here this morning and you say, Pastor Jeff, I'm uncomfortable with going to the least and the lost, now here's the issue. Start praying unto the Lord. Lord, change my heart. Lord, change my heart. Can I tell you one of the ways he'll change your heart? Follow him a little more closely. Be in prayer. Be in his word. Go to the places where he is. My goodness, you want to start having compassion for the least and the lost? Take a Sunday and go up to York on a helping hand. Breaks my heart sometimes. You're going through those, you're serving people lines, and you got kids younger than my kids coming through the line for a meal. That's their dinner for this evening. They don't get a meal from us. They don't get food that evening. It's a gut check. Spend some time going to Big and talking to some of the kids that are at Big and hearing some of the stories of their home life sometimes when they talk to you and share about what's going on. Start realizing there's a lost, broken, and dying world out there. You get out and amongst some of the things in the community, folks. You see the hurt and the need. My goodness, just go on social media for a little while, and you see the hate and the vitriol that's out there. Folks, it is true. It is a lost, broken, and dying world. Listen to me. But you are an ambassador of the cure. You know the solution. You have the hope. It's on you to go out. Lord, change my heart. You know, some of us, we say, thank God that I'm saved. Thank God that I'm saved. And we look at the outside world or anybody who has a dissenting political view from us, and we say, oh, Lord, help them. Oh, Lord, they're such terrible people. Oh, Lord, my goodness, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh, Lord, and we shame them and we cast them away. Jesus doesn't want you to shame them and cast them away. He wants you to take the gospel to them and tell them of the hope that they have in Christ. That's why he saved you, so you can reach them. And it's tough, folks. Listen to me, this is probably the hardest part of the entire message and the hardest part of our faith, because we live in such, even now, a divisive culture. But we're to take the message. Look, you can look out in our society, and it's just like Christ. You can look out, and I hope when you see people who are harassed, when you see people who are broken, when you see people who are sick, when you see people who are hurt, when you have people that have answers, when you see people that are in pain, that you're not just going, well, I hope someone finds them, but that you're moved with compassion like Christ was and see them as lost sheep without a shepherd. He wants you to go in his name. He wants you to show the love. He wants you to show the kindness. He wants you to show the grace and the acceptance that's found in Christ. He wants you to tell them of the salvation that's offered. He wants you to go, but it takes a change of heart. And that change of heart only happens when we start understanding that our Christian faith is not about us. Number one, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. He didn't save you for you to be comfortable with your Christian friends for the rest of your life and hang out in your own little groups. He saved you so that way you can go into the world and proclaim the gospel to those who need to hear it. Folks, you know, it's kind of like when you join a church. You know, you first come to a church and, hey, this church is wonderful, this church is great. this church is meeting my needs. And then you come to a point where you say, there's something that should be deeper about a church. It shouldn't just be about me. And that's where membership comes in. I'm becoming a member of the church, and now I'm saying, I've grown in my faith and my understanding of the local church. This church isn't about meeting my needs, but it's about joining in mission to meet the needs of others and our community. It's the same in your faith. You come to grace. You come to faith in Christ. Praise the Lord, you're on fire. Praise the Lord, you experience the grace of God. Praise the Lord, you experience the forgiveness for your own life. You experience the glory in your own life. You experience the freedom in your own life. But it's not just for you. Now it's about taking that faith and that same grace and that same forgiveness and that same mercy, taking it and showing it and expounding it and giving it just as you freely received it, freely giving it to others. To those who need it, for those who are looking for it, it comes as you grow. It comes as you grow in your faith. And I will make you to become. So the worship team gets ready to come back up and lead us in a final song this morning. I want to focus on that last part. I will make you to become fishers of men. Christian, I got a hard question for you this morning. Have you become a fisher of men? Let me put this. When is the last time or ever over the course of the time that you got saved, have you ever shared your faith with somebody? Have you ever proclaimed the gospel to someone else? There's an old saying that's so true. It was shown to me and brought to my attention by a gentleman by the name of Jeff Pierce when he used to lead Helping Hand. It said, Christianity is just one beggar telling the other beggar where he got the food from. Christianity is just one beggar telling the other beggar where he got the food from. Look, you may be here today and you say, Pastor Jeff, I'm saved. I remember the time that I was lost and now I'm found. I remember the time I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I know that I am saved. Okay, are you a disciple? Because a disciple follows Jesus. And a disciple does what his teacher teaches him to do. Are you a fisher of men? Do you have a heart for the lost? Do you have a heart for the broken? Do you have a heart for those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ? You have the answer, but you got to share it. Paul said in Romans, how will they know and who will tell them unless we're the ones that go and we preach the gospel? It's not just the pastor. I'll do my best on a Sunday morning. And I do my best in my own regular life, but it's not just the pastor. We're all called to be fishers of men. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? I'm sure right now there's someone the Lord has put on your heart. Someone the Lord has put on your heart. A friend, a family member, a co-worker that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you influence in their life. God has given you a part to speak in their life. Are you willing to cast the bait? Are you willing to throw the nets? Are you willing to be obedient? You know, that's what the gentlemen here in the text were, the disciples. They were obedient. It's a straight way they went and they followed. They had an obedient response. Will you have an obedient response so that he can make you to become fishers of men? You may not be there right now. Will you be obedient in allowing him to make and mold your heart to become of fishers of men? Because, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there's no greater, no exciting work than being a fisher of men, than being able to proclaim the gospel and see a life changed or a soul saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we do give you thanks.